There are just so many questions about Damar Hamlin and the whole incident viewed by 10 million people live on Monday Night Football, hoping to get some answers now. Uncensored, unafraid, and unstoppable, the fourth day of January 2023. Welcome to the Stu Peters Show. My name is Stuhl. After being out for just under a month and a half, Died Suddenly has been viewed more than 17 million times just on our official Rumble and Twitter channels. It's been a huge success. It's massively increased awareness about the shots and the impact that these bioweapon injections are having on millions of people, particularly young people. But the single most important event in the entire debate over these COVID shots and their impact specifically on young people may have just happened on Monday Night Live on television with more than 10 million people viewing. You've already heard about it, unless you were in a coma. Buffalo Bills safety Damar Hamlin made a routine tackle. The hit was innocuous in the first quarter. He got up off the turf and then immediately collapsed and lost consciousness. Trainers had to perform CPR right there on the field. He was rushed into an ambulance and then ushered to a nearby hospital in Cincinnati about 10 minutes later. On Tuesday, it was confirmed that Hamlin had suffered cardiac arrest not once but twice, but otherwise health officials have given almost no information about what happened. According to hospital officials, Hamlin is sedated and in critical condition. But according to Hamlin's family, his condition has improved over the last couple of days. Our next guest, though, claims none of this is true. Eric Dieters is a lawyer in Kentucky. He's based in the Cincinnati suburbs just south of the Ohio River. Eric says that he has two sources inside of the University of Cincinnati Medical Center where Hamlin is currently being treated, doctors and nurses. He says that his doctor and nurse sources tell him the information being shared with the public is not honest or accurate at all. We want to learn a whole lot more about that. And to that end, Eric Dieters joins us now for our top story. Eric, thank you so much for being here. We appreciate it.
Thanks for having me on.
So you have two sources inside of UC Hospital that say this is all a lie, what we're seeing in the press. What is the truth?
Well, first, for just a very brief background, University Hospital is a level one trauma unit in the Cincinnati area, which covers southeast Indiana, northern Kentucky, and southwest Ohio. And University Hospital is a badass hospital. That's where they took him. But here is the quick change of events. He had a cardiac arrest on the field, and on the field, they did CPR, didn't work. They did the defibrillator, didn't work. They actually intubated him. They put him in the ambulance. I mean, he died on that football field. And that's really important because, by the way, I hope Damar Hamlin has a miraculous recovery. And he's going to need a miracle. I'll talk about that in a minute. But what happened on that field is he died. What I am so angry about is the local news media, the national news media, and the NFL are trying to control the situation because they don't want their brand hurt by a vaccinated, young, healthy 24-year-old with an innocuous hit, you described it perfectly, dying on their football field. So they get him to the hospital. They resuscitate him. Now, you have to understand the time frame is at least 9 minutes before they intubate him. People will tell you 2 minutes without oxygen in the brain is extremely dangerous. So chances are. So then here's what they do. They take him to the hospital. He dies again in the hospital. They resuscitate him again. Medical field will tell you that if you have two events like that, the likelihood of survival is real minuscule. So here is what really angers me. University Hospital, and we all watch this every day with professional athletes, somebody from the hospital comes out and tells us what's going on. They promised us that, and it's never happened. 3 days later, it still hasn't happened. And that's wrong. And that's the first time this has ever happened. So why would that be? Why? Because the media, the NFL, the Bengals, the Bills are all working together to try to figure out how they solve this problem. And this is a young vaccine. You can Google it. Healthy young males across the world, athletes. I think it was a Jaguar or a Carolina Panther just died 2 days ago. And they're dropping over dead. And they force the vax on. So this is what the uncle comes out yesterday and says. I mean, he's our first guy that gets a report. He says he acknowledged he died twice. And they said that he's doing better because they turned the ventilator down to 50%. And I've been barraged, been barraged with people. See, you're lying. He's getting better. And I don't understand why all these people are mad at me. It's like, what are you mad at me for? I mean, I hope he gets better. The fact that he is getting weaned off a ventilator, maybe down 50%, doesn't improve brain cells. It does not improve brain cells. And I got two doctors and two nurses inside. And by the way, none of these are involved in his care, but they know what's going on. They tell me that the likelihood of his recovery is very minuscule, but I hope he does. And he's got lots of problems. But what's really weird, and I hate to say it, but I went ahead and I'll go ahead and say this. It makes no sense why they wouldn't tell us what's going on and what the likelihood of survival and everything else. So what I'm angry at is I'm angry of all the lies, the lack of communication, telling people the truth. And what it is they're orchestrating the community. We have all these people doing vigils and candlelights, and it's all sweet, you know, that they all care about Damar Hamlin, but they're all pawns. It's like they're orchestrating this whole thing, you know. And oh, one final point, and I'll shut up. I talk too much. This is a pro athlete being watched by 80,000 fans live, everybody on TV. He is not Joe Blow Citizen. And then when he has this event, oh, then we're not allowed to know what's going on with Damar Hamlin. And I say that's BS. And I would say that I bet you there's contracts that these athletes have to give up their right of privacy because the league wants to report what's going on. So that's what's going on. That's what my beef, and I'll shut up and answer your questions.
So your sources are saying essentially that he died suddenly.
Yes.
And that's what is being reported to happen on the field. I mean, he died on the field. He died suddenly. So the NFL and the Cincinnati Bengals and the Buffalo Bills, they have a lot of money tied up in all of this as well. Pfizer has a bunch of money tied up in all of this as well. We know that Ernest Ramirez, who lost his 16-year-old son to the Pfizer shot, was offered a bribe, money bribe, by Pfizer to shut up and stop talking about his son dying from the clot shot, the heart attack shot, the bioweapon, euthanasia, lethal injection. He's not allowed to talk about it. Yeah. Well, that's what it is. By their own definition, it's a weapon of biowarfare that contains pegylated lipid nanoparticles, and it's killing people all over the place. We did a documentary, I don't know if you've seen it, called Died Suddenly. And so the NFL and Pfizer and the Bengals and the Bills cannot have Damar Hamlin becoming a died suddenly statistic. So what they're going to do essentially is they're putting an iron lung in this guy just to keep him alive to later tell us, oh, weeks, months from now, that after a long battle, he passed away from some cardiac thing that was caused by this innocuous hit, and we're all supposed to believe that.
Right. And that's what's so funny about the anger towards me and these people. It's like they want to jump on board with it's like be part of the conspiracy. They don't understand. I mean, you understand. I understand this. When I said he's dead, hello, if you're brain dead, you're dead. It doesn't mean your heart's still not pumping, your lungs still aren't working. My first wife, for example, died of lung cancer. Guess what? Her lungs were shot. Her brain was good. Her heart was good. They didn't cure her lungs. So these people say, oh, they're turning down his oxygen. Well, that doesn't replace your brain cells. I mean, so it's the NFL is orchestrating, and they're so powerful because here's what happens with like our local and national media. You know the drill. You guys don't care, and I don't care. They don't get the interviews. They don't get the access. So they kowtow, you know, you're never going to get another interview with the Bengals head coach if you do something about this.
That's right.
So it's a big conspiracy, and it's sickening.
I want to unpack this just a little bit, and I want to say something here to make myself clear. Ernest Ramirez declined that offer of money, that bribe from Pfizer. That's because Ernest Ramirez is an upstanding individual. I know him, and I can vouch for that. I've met him several times. He's an upstanding individual out here fighting to publicize his son's story to protect the lives of millions of other Damar Hamlins, for example.
Right.
I don't know the Hamlin family, and I'm not saying that they're not morally upstanding, but I'm saying that a lot of people probably would take that kind of money from a major pharmaceutical company or from the NFL or from the Bills organization to be quiet. We will take care of you. We promise we'll take care of you. You'll be set. You'll never have anything else to worry about if you report this X, Y, and Z. I'm not accusing the Hamlin family of doing that. I'm just saying man is imperfect. People succumb to that kind of pressure, and money is very attractive for a lot of people. Living a lifestyle after you've lost your family member, your son, your brother, your uncle, your niece, your nephew, any of these
things.
Your
moneymaker.
It's a moneymaker. And I'm not accusing the Hamlin family, again, of that. But I am accusing the NFL of lying. And also Pfizer, they've been lying since the inception of this rollout of this bioweapon injection. And, of course, the Bills and the Bengals are being forced to lie. And the doctors inside of UC Medical Center are being forced to lie, probably with their medical licenses being held over their heads or some sort of other sanction or revocation of their license, should they say that the clot shot did this to Damar Hamlin.
Absolutely. And by the way, I said this today. I finally said it because everybody's talking about it. Consistent with what you just said. By the way, thank you. I didn't even think about it. There's probably no doubt that Pfizer is working with the NFL on this. But this is sad. They had a fund, the foundation set up, the Hamlin, to raise $2,500 for a toy drive. That fund went to $1 million, $2 million, $3 million. It's up to $6 million. So who's donating the money to the Hamlin Foundation? What's the Hamlin Foundation control? And are they doing this as part of the delay and the drag out that say, well, if Damar isn't dead, we can keep this thing going and people are going to contribute a whole lot more money if there's hope in it. I mean, and by the way, everybody be afraid to talk, to say that, not me. But people are talking about, they don't want to say it publicly, that it is kind of weird. By the way, the family issued their statement. They just thanked everybody. They didn't say one thing about Damar's condition until the uncle came out. But it supporting your theory is they're now up to $6 million in this foundation.
Yeah. You know, another thing that we have to be aware of, too, is the publicity spectacle around all of this has kind of turned into what appears to be a 9/11-ish style psyop. And let me explain what I mean by that. On 9/11, we illuminated things and everybody was coming together. We all had a flag. We were all patriotic Americans that wanted to go kick the crap out of whoever was responsible for bringing those towers down. We were united as a country. It didn't matter what your, you know, race was or your religion or your beliefs or your faith or your political alignment. None of that mattered. We were all just Americans at that point. If you look at every single stadium in the NFL, they're all now lit up in Bills colors. You watch ESPN hosts and pundits talking about how an NHL hockey player scored the game-winning goal in overtime with 3 minutes left, wore number 3 as a t-shirt, scored it, you know, it was his third goal of the game. Everything is 3-3-3. All of these threes, they're like basically using numerics as this religious sacrament now to shove this psyop into our face to distract us away from the fact that he was killed by the clot shot. And they're doing that to make us all feel good about the Hamlin family. Go and support and rah-rah the Bills. The Bills now should win the Super Bowl and they should, you know, everybody should wear number 3. And we're going to see this drag out for a really long time to keep people occupied, I believe, with supporting the Hamlin family, which everybody should do, praying for the Hamlin family, which everybody should do, praying for all of the other NFL players who've been injected with this thing, which everybody should do. But I think a lot of the overreaction that we were seeing, or not overreaction, but a lot of the big reaction of other players and coaches was that they realized, hey, we did this to ourselves also.
That's right. And I went off today, by the way, I'm struggling with maintaining a sports fan. And like ESPN, I watch Pardon the Interruption and Around the Horn, and they're so woke. I mean, I want to find out what the sports are, but it's so sickening. And they shame Aaron Rodgers, Kyrie Irving, and Cole Beasley of the Bills, who refuse to get the vaccine. In other words, all of the ESPN announcers, they all say, Kyrie Irving, they're selfish, Aaron Rodgers. And today I said, they're the man. And by the way, I mocked today all the pro football players. I did. I mocked them. They make millions. They're big and strong men. And they let that league force them to, I'll use your word, force them to get a bioweapon, knowing no idea what the hell's going to happen to them in their arms.
Yeah.
I mean, that is not being a badass. I mean, Aaron Rodgers, Kyrie Irving, Cole Beasley, they're some badasses. And, you know, there's no question. There's something going on here. And they want to, here it is. They want to protect the shield. They call it the shield. Protect that NFL brand, you know, because look what's at stake. You know, to your point, I mean, what if players, it was wholesale, it would come out that the vax killed him. These guys are going to say, well, I'm done with this league.
They will never, ever.
Of the NFL.
They will never, ever, ever admit that the shot did this
right.
to Hamlin. Never, they will never, never, never admit that. But never, here's never. What I can guarantee. A couple things. Number one, Aaron Rodgers, Kyrie Irving, they're feeling pretty good about themselves after this happened. Right. I think they're in a pretty good spot. Number two, I guarantee that this is going to happen more and more. We're going to see more and more live sporting events. I would even predict that maybe they'll do away from broadcasting them live. They'll just air them with a big delay, 40, 50 seconds delay, get these people off the field, maybe a 10-minute delay. That's how long it took the ambulance to get somebody who was fighting for their life in a critical life-saving situation off of the field, presumably to wait for his mother to come down. I don't know. That's the story that I've been heard. But in a critical life-saving situation, it seems to me that that ambulance should have gotten off the field a lot earlier. I'm not a medical professional. I don't know for sure what the procedure is, but I did work as a fugitive apprehension specialist with medical assistance needed in emergency situations for 15 years, and I saw the urgency with which they acted. I did not see any of that on that field in Cincinnati just the other day. Will you keep us posted on what your sources are saying is happening with Hamlin inside of that hospital?
Absolutely. I'd be happy to. Honored to.
Thank you very much. Eric Dieters, thank you for being here. We appreciate it.
Thanks for having me.
Of course. We'll continue to keep an eye on that story as it unfolds. Don't expect any truth to come out of that UC Medical Center. Don't expect any truth from the NFL or from the Bills or from the Bengals, and especially not from Pfizer. I want to remind you to protect yourself against the highway robbery that is criminal taxation, hyperinflation, recession, billions of dollars being sent over to Ukraine, a $1 trillion omnibus bill. $1.7 trillion omnibus. This is all just absolutely ridiculous, and they're going to reset you to zero in the financial system. If you have a checking account, saving account, 401k, IRA, investment account, any of those things, you need to protect yourself with gold and silver. Call my good friends at GoldCo. 855-706-GOLD. Again, 855-706-GOLD. When you mention Stu Peters after calling GoldCo, you'll get up to $10,000 in free silver with your qualified account. Call them today. Protect yourself. 855-706-GOLD. 855-706-GOLD. More of the Stu Peters Show next.
The boosters are killing millions.
Shut up, vaccine sensitivity.
A vaccine holocaust has begun.
We are seeing right now the highest death rates we have ever seen in the history of this business.
The vaccinated have chronic COVID.
Hey, folks, guess you heard this morning I tested positive for COVID. But I've been double vaccinated, double boosted.
They're drowning in bioweapons sludge, and gay people are taking doggy style to the extreme. But a generation of patriots are standing back and standing by. Christopher Key is leading the revolution.
Good morning, America!
Temple. That's why they're poisonous with the water, the food, the supplements.
Confronting corrupt corporations through peaceful protest and righteous resistance. Visit vaccine-police.com to stay informed on pure blood survival and products to keep your loved ones safe. Vaccine-police.com.
You all know what happened to Damar Hamlin. And so do we. Athletes suddenly collapsing on the field is not normal. Don't let anybody tell you otherwise. But it's becoming more and more common ever since these bioweapon injections were rolled out. According to Steve Kirsch, citing an unnamed but authoritative source, Damar Hamlin was, in fact, vaccinated, as were the rest of the Bills. We know the impact of these shots on healthy, fit young people like Damar Hamlin. They cause myocarditis, inflammation of the heart. Experts say this condition is mostly harmless. Now, in a technical sense, that's often true. Myocarditis is not a sole cause of death, but it damages the heart. It makes other forms of heart problems, like sudden heart attacks, much more likely. And that's exactly what we're seeing play out before us right now all across the country, and the world, for that matter. We've seen the local news stories about high schoolers and college athletes suddenly collapsing on the field of play. Even people who don't follow this program or haven't seen our documentary or programs like this one have probably heard chatter about people who died suddenly or who had sudden heart problems emerge at a shockingly young age. But all of those stories are in the abstract. On Monday night, they saw it up close and personal and undeniably. And now millions of people are talking about whether Hamlin's collapse is related to these shots that the NFL pressured him to take. Oh, and the people who aren't talking about this are thinking about it. Dr. Paul E. Alexander served in President Trump's HHS during COVID. He's now a partner at the new wellness company that we endorse, DissonantDoctors.com. He's with us now to discuss how the vaccine might have affected Damar Hamlin and what he thinks Hamlin's current status might be inside that medical center. What do you think is the current status of Damar Hamlin inside that UC medical center?
Look, Stu, thanks once again for having me. Great show as usual.
This is a catastrophic situation. We need to understand this is a human being. We are praying for him. But my view is this. My view is this. It is incumbent on the NFL and the family to tell us his vaccine status, because it will then dictate whether other NFL players will take that field. Because what we are arguing, McCullough, myself, etc., we've come forward. Many people slinked away. Many in even our own freedom fighter group. We stood up yesterday and said, look, this is most likely a diagnosis. The little certainty we have, we are still saying this is vaccine-induced myocardial scarring from a prior COVID injection that led to a high adrenaline arrhythmia episode causing the cardiac arrest. And what I mean is, I think he died on the field. And I'm sorry, I'm saying it the way I look at it. I think that the medical response was top-notch, the Buffalo Bills. You have to credit them. They brought him back. But we heard that he went into cardiac arrest again. If this is so, this person is very, very, very damaged and ill. This person is in serious crisis, and we're not getting the truth. We need to understand because this took place on national television. And I wrote a Substack, sent it out an hour ago saying, I want the NAACP. I want these groups to stand up now, because a black man, you might say, well, you're bringing race into this. Yeah, I'm bringing race into this. A black man was killed on live television night before by this COVID gene injection.
Yeah, and I'm going to just say something here. This is happening to millions of people all over the world. So yes. To suddenly act like you're enraged because it happened to a celebrity athlete with 10 million people viewing, it kind of teased me up a little bit, because yes, Hamlin's life matters, but so do the millions of others who are dropping dead, dying suddenly all over the place, quietly and not internationally televised on Monday Night Football.
Yeah, you're right. And this time, they rushed out their talking head doctors to talk about commotio cordis, which is that a blow to the chest, etc. He doesn't fit that age profile. It's not the right projectile, etc. The reality is the Bills was on record saying they're 100% vaccinated. 100%. So we need to know if this person was recently boosted. We need to know which shot he got, Moderna or Pfizer, because the Moderna is actually more deadly than the Pfizer. We need to know how long ago it was, etc. We need that information, because other players need to listen, Stu, I'll tell it to you this way. I know many people in Buffalo, New York, we live there. I can tell you something. Many people called me and wrote me and said, Paul, when you saw those players crying on that field, they were crying because of their love for Damar. They were shocked and hurt. But many of them were crying because they're very, very concerned about they themselves dropping on the field. That's the issue. NFL, this could change NFL. They may have to redo the rules of the game. I am saying that no NFL player should take the field unless their teams ensure they are properly tested for myocarditis. And if they have myocarditis looming, because myocarditis is silent, they should not take the field. Should not.
Yeah, I agree. And by the way, also everybody else who's now coming out getting angry with us for reporting on this, angry with you about the NAACP comment, angry at the attorney, Eric Dieters, with the nurses and doctor sources inside of the hospital. Why are you shilling for the shot? You should redirect your anger to Pfizer and the NFL and the Bills for coercing and forcing this onto Damar Hamlin, and Pfizer for manufacturing this bioweapon injection that's killing millions of people all over the world. Dr. Paul E. Alexander, I'm out of time. Thank you so much for being here. We appreciate it.
Thank you for having me again, Stu.
Of course, anytime. Treat yourself naturally. How about that? Reduce inflammation, joint pain, muscle pain, ligament pain. Use CBD. The CBD company that I use is Curable, K-U-R-I-B-L. Go to Curable.com and get 20% off site-wide on all of their products, the balms, the roll-ons, the sprays, the tinctures, all of it. 20% off site-wide. Use promo code STU when you go to Curable.com. Also, do you have a child with ADHD? I mean, this is a big deal. Or a diagnosis of ADHD. Does the doctor want to shove a bunch of neurotoxins down their throat and poison their brain? Try CBD. You have nothing to lose. Go to Curable.com, K-U-R-I-B-L.com. Use promo code STU when you go to Curable.com. So in the past, you know, decades ago, maybe it was true that America's public schools were focused on learning. Maybe back then, attending school was actually about learning math and reading and being taught to appreciate this country's history. Everybody knows those days are long gone. Today, American public schools are just a combination of daycare and propaganda mill. Instead of math, we have critical race theory. Instead of civics, we have Marxism. And instead of real biology, we have transgenderism. This last trend is the most sinister, the most sudden, and for individual families, the most dangerous. Because even if your child is fed CRT poison, there's always at least a little hope that they could be deprogrammed. But if your child is convinced that they're actually the opposite sex and they go on puberty blockers or get mutilated, that damage will last for their entire lives, even if they detransition. Sean McBriarty is bringing a lot of attention to this. He's a director of special projects at the Maine First Project, a nonprofit that's conducting grassroots activism in several different fields. Today, though, Sean is here as an advocate for the mother of a girl who's been transitioned thanks to the actions of her teachers at school. The mother is named Amber Levine. Her daughter is just 13 years old, and like far too many girls in recent years, she's begun saying that she actually feels like a boy. Well, the teachers at school immediately began recognizing this change, and they pounced all over it. They started referring to Amber's daughter with male pronouns and by a male name. Without Amber's knowledge, her daughter received a chest binder to wear at school. Amber only found out about any of this after she found the binder in her daughter's room. And when she asked her daughter about it, the girl confessed that she had been coached to hide it from her parents and relatives. Her own teachers had fear-mongered this 13-year-old girl into believing that if she spoke honestly to her parents, it would cause stress and anxiety and depression. It gets worse, if you can believe it. Since this story has come out, the school has refused to release the notes or information that they kept on interactions between Amber's daughter and a school social worker called Sam. Amber believes that this social worker basically groomed her daughter and engaged in predatory acts, training her to not tell anyone else about their interactions. This social worker, Sam Roy, previously worked as a PR officer for the University of Maine's LGBT group. So what's the main takeaway of this story for everyone else listening? Well, most obviously, get your kids out of government schools. And unless you have a real, orthodox, trustworthy Christian school that you can go to, you have to be wary of most private schools too. The only way to guarantee your children are free of this transgender insanity is to homeschool them yourself. Sean McBriarty joins us now. Sean, thank you so much for coming. We appreciate you being here.
No, thank you for the opportunity. I appreciate that.
So obviously, I mean, this is all over the news in Maine. The press is covering this. What are people saying about it?
Yeah, the interesting thing here, and I want to give props to Steve Robinson at the Maine Wire. He is the only journalist in Maine who has covered this story. And I think he's done six different iterations of the first story as things have been, you know, further exposed. Not one TV station or, you know, public newspaper in Maine has covered this story. And that essentially tells me that this state-run media that unfortunately we have here in Maine is ignoring it because it doesn't fit their narrative. And what I'd like to do, Stu, I mean, you know, your big passion is to expose the issues from COVID and the fake jab and the entire deal like that. My calling has been to expose the horrors in Maine and the nation's public education system. And I'm a pure blood for the record, just for the sake of argument.
Good for you.
But but what's happening really, Stu, is that it's not yet painful enough for most parents out there. They don't see these issues until their little son, Billy, comes home and wants to be called Karen. Or a situation occurs like it happened in Little Damariscotta, Maine, a town of 2,500 on the coast of Maine. And believe me, if it can happen there, it can happen anywhere. But one of the things that's really difficult is these parents are having a hard time assimilating the information because it's not getting any coverage here from the state-run local media. Folks like Steve Robinson and myself are exposing it to the best of our ability. And in this situation, Amber's public testimony, her 3 minutes, a raw and emotional testimony, basically an appeal to the school board, has been seen 340,000 times on my Rumble channel without any local media picking it up, which is pretty amazing. Now, we're seeing this all over the country, and this is a mental illness being pushed on our students with our tax dollars. And make no mistake, it's a culture war. And this culture war is being waged with pawns who are your children. So I'd like to kind of set the table as to a few stories here in Maine and then dive a little deeper into the situation in Damariscotta, if that's okay.
Yeah, in about 10 minutes. Sure, the floor is yours.
All right, great. So gender dysphoria, basically the normalization of sex with adults in school, is what's going on. Kindergartners in Maine are being taught their pronouns before they're able to spell the word blue. And again, you mentioned it right out of the gate. I've been a huge proponent for homeschooling or a Christian school if folks can afford it. In Maine, we don't have educational freedom. Educational freedom to me is a no strings attached situation where your tax dollars follow your student instead of going to that brick building in the town that you live in. And the really interesting thing here in Maine is that these assessment scores of these kids in school have never been lower. Only one out of three kids in fourth grade can read with proficiency.
Yeah, but that's not
it's
important.
The same situation.
It's not important. They know who to have sex with. That's what's important, right?
You're right. You're right. And that's the thing that's very interesting is that when you bring these subjects up to school board members, the majority of school board members in Maine are registered Democrats, same situation here in Damariscotta that we're going to speak to. And when someone like Amber Levine brings her, again, her emotional plea to the school board for help, the only thing that Samuel Belknap III, a registered Democrat, said was, thank you for your comment. There is no interaction with these folks because they don't want parents to know what's going on within those brick buildings. So there's been a number of things that I've worked on over the last 2.5 years as an advocate for students, parents, taxpayers, and teachers of Maine. People who are unwilling to speak up or are scared to speak up, Stu, because of cancel culture, certainly something that you and I are familiar with. But I want to give you a little bit of a taste of Maine is the California of the East Coast. It's horrible here. In the 2022 Teacher of the Year, the Maine Teacher of the Year as elected by the Maine School Department of Education, Kelsey Stoyanova, an eighth grade teacher in my hometown here in Hamden, Maine, provided a book list to students, 11-year-olds, filled with anti-father, anti-police, transgender, LGBTQ, and hardcore kiddie porn. And she was celebrated for it. And that's, you know, that is our Maine Teacher of the Year. We've got the next town over, Herman, Maine. Chris McLaughlin, a school board member there, he's also a social worker. In his own words, Stu, he has said that the kiddie porn book, Gender Queer, he loves it. It's his favorite book. And he pushes social workers to keep secrets from parents, which, again, we're going to speak to. And even more, he says he wants to talk more about taboo subjects with minors. Now, this, again, is a person who's on the school board creating policy and providing the superintendent direction for the curriculum and the programs that are happening in that school.
They're sex now, offenders. That's what they are. These people are sex offenders.
It's predatory. It's no doubt predatory in nature. And Chris McLaughlin doesn't have kids of his own, but my opinion is he wants to take yours from you. Now, a group of parents, after about a year of me sort of publicizing this.
Hold on a second. Let's roll that back a second. Your opinion is that he wants to take your kids from you and then do what with them?
In my opinion, Chris McLaughlin wants to take your child from you, separate the child from the parent and destroy the modern nuclear family. And that's what's happening across all of these schools. That's their goal, to pull your kid away from you as a parent. And they're doing it with your own tax dollars.
And they're doing this so that they can deprogram you about any family values or principles or morals or faith that the family is supposed to teach and talk about at the dinner table. Is that right?
100%. The morality has been thrown out the window. And subjects that critical thinking adults just a few years ago would say that is a taboo subject and not something I want to have in my schools because, again, they're failing in the very basics of education. Yet now these teachers unions, the MEA, which is a part of the NEA, the National Teachers Union, they are pushing these concepts and this hypersexualization of minors. And that's their goal. You know, it's unfortunate. So
we're a society that actually largely accepts drag queen story hour. With the exception of just a few counties in this country, there haven't been a whole lot of uprisings over this. There has not been a whole lot of protesting and gathering and people putting their foot down en masse and saying, no, you're not going to do this to our kids. You're not going to groom them and touch them and fondle them and molest them and talk my son into cutting off his sex organs and then claiming to be a girl.
Well, yeah, and the unfortunate part of that is you're seeing big pharma. Boston Children's Hospital, for example, my friend Billboard Chris is going to be down there next Saturday the 14th at 11 o'clock to do a peaceful protest. You know, they're doing top and bottom surgeries on minor children, and Chris has exposed that. And that's the horrors of what's going on. A parent who says they don't want to get involved in this situation and they don't want to fight for their kids' lives like they depend on them, because they do, Stu, essentially one day might have their child ripped away from them and either transformed in this body mutilation surgery, or even worse, lose them to anxiety, depression, and suicide because of what's being pumped into these schools. So books are just one component of this. Parents in Herman have assembled a list of 80 books here locally that are sexually inappropriate for children. Nobody's trying to ban books, Stu. It's all about age-appropriate content and parental control. And, you know, this is a comment or a discussion you and I can have for another day, but Herman, the school district, is actually suing me for exposing the hypersexualization going on in that school. And they will become the second public school to lose a First Amendment lawsuit, because I've got Randazza Legal Group and Center for American Liberty on my side, and also, you know, a little thing called the Constitution.
Yeah. So listen, we have a very active audience here, Sean. What would be, in about a minute or less, what would be your call to action? How can people get involved to help to put pressure on this school or the press, the media there in Maine? What are you asking for our viewing audience to do?
Yeah, I think right now we're in an exposure phase. People really need to step to the microphone. They need to expose the horrors that's going on. Freedom of Access Act in Maine.
I think we're in an accountability phase, actually. I think we're in an inflict the pain and increase the pressure phase. That's where I would like to be.
Pressure is certainly something that I am pretty adept to, and it's constant. And I think parents need to get involved. There are a lot of people, again, that are starting to come out of the woodwork here in Maine and across the country. You're seeing folks like myself and peers all across the country starting to try to expose this just horrific nature of what's going on. But again, if parents don't start to step up to the microphone, and in Maine, Stu, our Maine GOP basically has been worthless when it comes to this stuff. We don't have any support here.
Total shocker.
Yeah, I know, right?
Worthless GOP? No way. You're just talking crazy talk.
Susan Collins doesn't speak for me, I can tell you that. But it's really, to me, it's still in Maine, at least, it's exposure, and then speaking to it and then solving for it ultimately is educational freedom. And like I said, to me, you need to take back the local control of your school boards. That's where this starts and the buck stops there. And we need more education and less indoctrination here in these Maine schools.
Yeah. And this school social worker, this Sam, who was grooming Amber's 13-year-old daughter, should be investigated for crimes against children, sex crimes against children, and he should be arrested and thrown in jail. And the key should be thrown away. He should be given a life sentence. You cannot reform or rehabilitate these people, I don't believe. Sean McBriarty, thank you so much. We really appreciate you being here.
Thank you, sir. I'll look to talk to you again.
All right. Increase the pressure, inflict the pain. That means every media outlet in Maine should be hearing from all of us. This school and this social worker should be hearing from us. The cops there, the sheriff, should be hearing from us. Inflict the pain. These people are child predators, sick, sexual, molesting degenerates that want to take your kids and touch them and fondle them. They're sick, sexual sadists that get off on touching little boys. That's why they want to turn girls into little boys. Amber's going to need some help with her legal challenge. If you want to support her, please go to givesendgo.com/Amber Levine. Levine is spelled L-A-V-I-G-N-E. Again, that's givesendgo.com/Amber Levine. Please, if you can, if you have the means, and if you feel so inclined, please go to givesendgo.com/Amber Levine. All right, we've been telling you a lot about magnesium breakthrough. That is because magnesium helps to combat stress and anxiety, low mood, sleepless nights, and an early grave. There are a lot of magnesium supplements out there, but if you take a closer look, most of them act as a laxative, thereby making you crap out everything that you're putting into your body to try to maintain health. 75% of Americans suffer a magnesium deficiency. Magnesium is like the miracle mineral.
So go to magbreakthrough.com/Stu Peters for Magnesium Breakthrough, the 7 most critical types of magnesium in the exact right amounts at magbreakthrough.com/Stu Peters. More of the Stu Peters Show next.
The Stu Peters Network is brought to you in part by darkagedefense.com. One day we could be at war. Missile silos activated. Drone swarms blotting out the sun. Cyber attacks destroying the power grid. Don't wait until lights out to prepare for the day after. Dark Age Defense will arm you to protect your family. Food, water, power, survival. DarkAgeDefense.com/Stu has you covered. Don't wait. Visit DarkAgeDefense.com/Stu.
New year, new you. So many people say it, but we're going to talk to those of you that actually mean it and want to get back on track after the holidays. That means activating your metabolism to burn even that stubborn fat. Crush your cravings. Maintain healthy immune system function. How important is that? Fight temporary inflammation related to exercise, even support improved digestion and a feel-good mood. All while eating rich and decadent chocolate from earthecofoods.com. They have done it again. They have stepped up their game, and now you can too. Go to earthecofoods.com right now. Again, earthecofoods.com. So California is America's largest state, and everybody knows it's America's most tyrannical, deranged, and corrupt one as well. But it's a state that doesn't rest on its laurels. Every day, the tyrants and psychopaths who run that state are thinking of new ways that they can go even further and impose their ideology on more and more people. Mostly, they export their ideology by making California so horrible and unlivable that even left-wingers can't stand it. So they just move to red states and ruin them, like a swarm of locusts. But that's not all they do. Last year, California passed SB 107, which encourages parents from out of state to bring their children to California to give them mutilating sex change surgeries. It's what Jeff Younger is dealing with his son, the boy, James, because his deranged psychopath ex is taking that boy to California to have this exact procedure implemented. But it gets worse, because now there's this. Assembly Bill 2098 just took effect on New Year's Day. Assembly Bill 2098 declares that it's unprofessional conduct to spread false or misleading medical information. And then they're going to punish doctors. The potential punishments include suspending or even permanently revoking a doctor's license to practice medicine in that state. So the clear and explicit intent of this bill is to destroy the career of anybody who questions the ever-changing official narrative on COVID-19 or the bioweapon injections falsely referred to as vaccines that they want to force onto everybody. And of course, this is the plan that eventually these people want to impose on the entire country. You can't be a doctor unless you toe the line on everything. On the shots, on transgenderism, on everything. Dr. Richard Amerling is with the group DissidentDoctors.com. His medical work has been published in peer-reviewed medical journals and as complete chapters of medical textbooks. In October of 2016, he joined the faculty of St. George's University School of Medicine in Grenada, but now he's been fired from that job for vaccine noncompliance. We told you he was a dissident. He's received an early taste of what California wants to inflict on every vaccine-critical doctor, and he joins us now. Dr. Amerling, thank you so much for being here. We appreciate it.
A great pleasure, as always, Drew.
I think one of the most concerning things about this bill is how it targets the children. Mm-hmm. So you know about vaccine exemption letters. Now this bill has language in it that says, quote, starting next year, the state will review all medical exemptions at schools where fewer than 95% of students are vaccinated. What does this say to you?
It's inhumane and evil. They've been targeting kids, if you think about it, from the beginning. They kept them out of school. They forced them to wear these masks. Kids who had zero risk of serious bad outcomes from this virus were made to suffer inordinately in so many ways. And to subject them to these experimental gene therapy shots is absolutely beyond the pale. They should not get it. They should never have even been offered them. And now to force them to get it or not go to school, it's criminal. This is absolutely criminal behavior. And they are targeting not just individual doctors, but I think the intent is to scare all doctors, to terrorize all doctors so that they will all toe the line. And sadly, most of them do.
So this Assembly Bill 2098 gives bureaucrats the authority to determine what is false or misleading medical information, to sanction or just remove doctors' licenses for, quote, unprofessional conduct. What criteria will they use to determine what's false or misleading?
You know, I've written about this for many years, and I've lectured and debated, and I saw all this happening in slow motion over the last 15 to 20 years, where doctors turned over their medical and scientific authority to panels of experts through the guise of what is called evidence-based medicine. They use this methodology to come up with consensus, what are really consensus opinions of so-called experts. Now, all these experts, or most of them, are financially connected to the pharmaceutical industry. And that's how it all got going. But they gave doctors in general said, well, look, these are the experts. If this is what they recommend, we're not going to do all that research. We're just going to take what they recommend and go with it. They surrendered their professional judgment and their critical thinking and their critical reasoning. And they let these bureaucrats basically write guidelines to tell them how to practice. And that has now become the standard, which forms the basis for misinformation and disinformation claims. So we gave over this authority, and we have to claim it back. And now it's going to take an action by the courts to push to get rid of this absolutely horrific law.
Now, dissidentdoctors.com is growing. More and more great doctors like yourselves that critically think on their own independently and treat patients based on what their symptoms are and what's best for their patients. That group is growing, but relatively speaking, dissidentdoctors.com is a small group as compared to how many doctors are in this country. Why aren't more doctors speaking out? What's happening here? Why are they trading their license and ignoring the Hippocratic Oath to first do no harm?
There are a couple of reasons. One big one is that many of them are not independent financially. They're working for hospitals or hospital corporations or other corporate interests. And they're afraid of being fired if there is an order that comes down from on high that you must follow this protocol, such as, for example, you must give remdesivir for hospitalized patients with COVID. They give it. Now, a lot of them must know that it doesn't work and is harmful, and therefore they should never give it. And that would be a violation of their oath to do no harm. They give it anyway because they're afraid of losing their job. They have financial debt obligations, et cetera.
So let's just break this down into really simple terms. What you're saying is they will inject a child with a shot that they know that they do not want or do not need if they're a pediatric physician, for example, or they will give poisonous toxic remdesivir to somebody knowing that it is poisonous and toxic and kill them in exchange for cash. Murder for money, essentially, is what you're saying. They are making this decision cognitively.
Yeah. I mean, I wrote an article about this. I called it the Nazification of American medicine. I don't know if you saw it, but yes, the American doctors, by and large, have turned over their ethics and their moral authority to their employers and the government, and they're carrying out the party line. The party line is to give these toxic drugs and these toxic shots. And many of them must know that it's not good medicine, but they're afraid to step out of line because they don't want to lose their job or otherwise be canceled.
So what do you recommend for people in their states, or if they're doctoring with somebody who's pushing these protocols onto them? What do you recommend as a call to action for our viewing audience? What can people do to activate and try to push back against all of this?
Well, get rid of your doctor if they're pushing that kind of poison. If your doctor is recommending that you get boosted, for example, that's clearly malpractice, in my view, at this point. There's so much evidence out there that these do not work and are toxic that it's malpractice to recommend it. And I would either get rid of him or sue him if you have an injury, right? Get a lawyer and sue your doctor. The doctors are not going to be covered all individually because of they won't all be indemnified for practicing this sort of horrible medicine.
Dr. Emmerling, are you a football fan? Do you watch football?
I don't watch it that much. I love football, but I don't get to watch it very much. But of course, I know where you're going.
Yeah, you've seen plenty of football games. Do you believe that hit was innocuous? I mean, we've seen hits like that all the time. Are you convinced that this narrative that ESPN is pushing, that this hit is what caused this injury to DeMar Hamlin? Do you believe that that's accurate?
I think that that's completely speculative. This commotio cardio, condition is extraordinarily rare.
Is it completely speculative to assume that it was the shot that did this to him?
Well, yeah. I mean, it's all speculative until you have a biopsy or an autopsy.
I don't think we're going to get one. I'm just going to be honest with you. I don't think we're going to get one. I've mentioned this before. Ernest Ramirez lost his son, Ernesto, at 16 years old after getting that Pfizer shot.
Yes.
His heart was enlarged. You know about Ernest's story.
Yes, I do.
Pfizer went to Ernest Ramirez and tried to bribe him with money to stop talking about the death of his child that was caused by their product. Not everybody is as upstanding as, you know, Ernest Ramirez. I don't believe that we're ever going to get a biopsy. I don't believe that we're ever going to get an autopsy. I don't believe that we're ever going to get a real cause of death. I believe that we're going to be lied to and gaslit. It was inevitable, as many people as were injected, that we would have a live TV, you know, collapse suddenly, presumably died suddenly, event happen, and now it's happened in front of 10 million people.
Right. Right. Yeah. It's going to be very hard to get real data, for sure. And the cover-up has been incredible, to the point where now heart attacks and strokes are normal in kids, right? We never saw them. They're not normal. Kids do not get heart attacks and they don't get strokes. This is one of the underlying truths of medicine, that diseases are age-related, right? Heart disease, strokes, these happen in older people, not kids. And now they're telling us, no, we've always seen this. No, this is not, this is just a lie. Now, look, the autopsy data from Europe shows evidence of myocarditis in the sudden death cases. There is now circulating spike protein detected. A friend of mine just sent me an article on this in patients who have been vaccinated and who have myocarditis. And that makes sense, because you're injecting messenger RNA that is telling cells of the body to produce the spike protein.
Yeah, you're injecting a bioweapon with pegylated lipid nanoparticles, which by the criminal's own documentation is a weapon of biowarfare.
It is. My interpretation of the news media for the past couple of years now has been, certainly since the shot rollout, has been that if there is a sudden death and they don't report the vaccination status of that individual, they were vaccinated. They were jabbed. Because you know that if they knew for sure that they weren't, they'd report it. So the absence of reporting, to me, is a clear sign that was a jabbed individual.
Yeah, and then they will say that this person died of long-haul COVID, which is fake, and all of these other nonsense COVID deaths that have been 100% fake. Nobody was dying in the streets and collapsing and falling over before the introduction of these shots. Nobody was being found dead at home from COVID-19. No, they were all dying in the hospital because of these doctors that were making that cognitive decision to murder for money, to kill for cash. You know what? This group of dissident doctors is growing, and I'm so happy that I found you guys and that I'm able to push this. Go to dissidentdoctors.com. Again, dissidentdoctors.com if you want those exemption letters, or if you want to talk to a real doctor that's not some big pharma shill pushing drugs like some street drug lord. Dissidentdoctors.com. Dr. Amerling, thank you so much for being here. We appreciate it.
Anytime, Stuart. You bet. Take care.
Yeah, take care. So California is starting by targeting the schools who have less than 95% of their students vaccinated. What are they going to do? Remove the educational licenses from principals or faculty that has those schools with less than 95% bioweapon infection rates? They're also targeting doctors who wrote more than 5 vaccine exemption letters in that state. It is clear as day. They want to prevent future reproduction. They want sterility and fertility. They want death and destruction. They want to depopulate the planet. More and more of these incidents, like what was viewed by 10 million people on Monday Night Football, are going to happen, and they are going to continue to lie about it. You don't need to be some genius critical thinker. You don't need to be a scientist or a doctor to see what's happening right out in front of us. But if you do want to think more clearly, might I recommend Nootropics Brain Supplements from Nootopia? Great segue here, by the way. Go to Nootopia.com/stew, Nootopia.com/stew. All of the brain supplements, my favorite is Focused Savagery. It came in the custom package, custom made for me. Every single tablet included in the package, every one of these brain supplements that you take
was made for you when you fill out the personal questionnaire. Go to newtopia.com/Stu. Again, newtopia.com/Stu. We'll be back in 60 seconds. Don't go anywhere.
Branch Covidians have turned our cities into super shedder capitals. The jabbed have become self-spreading bioweapons, threatening the purebloods.
He pulled this clot out, but as he pulled it out, it became something that was the extent of the person's entire leg. It was almost like a wax, you know, mold of something.
The clot shot is ending careers, detonating bombs in the brains of pilots.
Dozens, maybe north of 100 commercial airline pilots have died within just a few days of being vaccinated. Dead.
But don't despair. There's an answer to protect you and your kids from the chimerically engineered symptoms. Forget the forever boosters. Fortify your immune system today with the Z-Stack from Dr. Zev Zelenko. One pill formula, taken twice a day. Everything you need to fight back against bioweapons, RSV, and influenza B. ZStackProtocol.com. Stock up now. Be prepared. Stand ready. ZStackProtocol.com. Are you getting sick all the time? The bioweapon boosted are breaking our immune systems. Chemtrails fill the skies. Don't fear the shedpocalypse. Destroy impurities. Protect your children with the future of air purification. TrustFilterSuck.com.
Watch how quickly our machine pulls out dust, shedding, quantum dots, mold, bacteria, viruses, anything that grandma might have brought over from Boosterville, California. We drop it down to the ground as a biologically inert substance.
Sleep easy with 24/7 protection. Get a unit for your home or the portable device to shield your kids at school. Use promo code STU for huge discounts. FilterSuck.com, your antidote against poison in the air.
Today's Stu Peters Show and all of the Stu Peters Shows brought to you by Cortez Wealth Management. I have to say, none of this would have ever happened without Carlos Cortez, who believed in us. And we liked what he was doing. He's an independent fiduciary, which means that he can custom make a plan for you when dealing with your finances. You'll know what you're investing in. It's important for you to know what you're investing in. We have to invest. We have to be morally upright in our investments, invest with our faith and our values. You would never go and invest in Pfizer. Maybe Marjorie Taylor Greene would and has and does. But if that strikes you as odd or doesn't align with your values and your faith and your morals, does your financial advisor currently know what you're invested in? Have you asked them? Do they know the answers to these questions? An independent fiduciary like Carlos Cortez, who is a follower of Jesus and a believer in Christ and faithful to God. He's a family man and a patriot and a father and a husband. He knows all of these things and can custom build a plan for you. So book your appointment with him. It's very important. Be morally upright. Book your appointment with him at no cost. Go to CortezWM.com. Again, CortezWM.com. We are out of time for today. Until tomorrow at this time, same place. God bless you.